Welcome to Saddle Up Live, a transformative podcast tailored for women aged 40 and beyond, where courage, God's grace, and a touch of sass are the driving forces behind conquering life's challenges. Join me, Lisa Koski, as I take you on a captivating ride through the multifaceted aspects of womanhood in this vibrant stage of life. We are covering everything from my journey through breast cancer, the intricacies of marriage and the joys of motherhood, to the exciting adventures of grandparenting. In each episode, we saddle up for candid conversations about God, health, relationships, family dynamics, and the beautiful chaos that comes along the way. But here's the twist. Saddle Up Live goes beyond navigating the highs and lows of life. It's a platform dedicated to sharing what we have learned along the way. I want to help women thrive through it all. Together, we'll uncover actionable strategies for personal and professional development, providing you with the tools and inspiration needed to blaze new trails and seize every opportunity that comes your way. Moreover, we are committed to helping you suffer less and live more fully. Through our discussions on God, health, wellness, and mindfulness, we explore practical techniques for managing stress, cultivating resilience, and embracing a holistic approach to self-care. So whether you're looking for practical advice, heartfelt stories, or simply a supportive community of like-minded women, saddle up and join us on this exhilarating ride. Because at Saddle Up Live, we believe every woman deserves to thrive, flourish, and live her best life, no matter her age or stage. Welcome, listeners, to this segment of Saddle Up Live. I'm really excited. I've got Penny Lacasso with me, all the way from Australia. We were just saying it's Monday morning to her and Sunday night to me, which is kind of crazy. But Penny, I'm so thankful that she's here because I wanted to get her back. She was on Doing Divorce Different with me, and we were talking about happiness kind of through divorce. She's an author, she's a speaker, and she's a coach. And the reason that Penny came to my mind, she wrote the book called, okay, help me. Is it Hacking Happiness or Happiness? Yeah,
Hacking Happiness.
Thank you. And I thought, okay, this is someone that I need to talk to right now on Saddle Up Live. And Penny, I think you know a little bit about what's going on with me and my listeners too. So I wanted to, because I'm a coach and I've been coached and I know all about getting your mindset right. And, you know, living through my daily normal life, I can do it with the little ups and downs of what I think is stressful, right? Like I think something is stressful and then wham, something hits you that changes your life. And that's really stressful. And I'm not going to lie, Penny, I don't think I handled it that well. And I want to use this. I don't really like to talk about what I'm going through, to be quite honest with you. I want to be someone that people aspire to be. So this is a little hard for me because no one wants to be where I am right now, probably. But I want to try to help people through this. And here's the thing. My listeners know we have really, really good news. Get your mammograms. I had early detection. It was teeny tiny. When they did the pathology, it was smaller than they thought. Not in my lymph nodes, clean margins, all really, really good stuff. So it's, I don't have it right now. So my oncologist said, okay, so you don't have it. Now we need to keep it away. And I am scared because I have to go through chemo, 12 weeks of chemo, chemo that isn't as hardcore as it would have been if it was, that the pathology didn't work out. So I said I wanted to kiss my oncologist when she said, I think you're going to keep your hair. She said, it might not look the same, but I think you'll keep it. So I have all these good things, Penny. And sometimes I actually feel guilty because I have a great outcome. And I did from the beginning. My surgeon told me because it was so early, 98% good outcomes. So that's why too, I'm just like, go in and get the test, even if you're scared. Get all your tests because it saves your life. So I have so much to be thankful for. And sometimes I actually feel guilty. Because some people, like I'm afraid to go through chemo to keep things away.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have to go it to live another day. You know, they have to go through that. So I look at that and I think, oof, I don't want to compare myself, but I also want to see my blessings. And so there are so many blessings in this for me. And it's been a roller coaster of up and down of feeling super blessed and then being like, ah, shit, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through this. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit to when I first found out about this.
Yep.
Because now I know good news. I know good news now. I don't know good news back in the beginning. I was scared to death that, you know, they said you have a mass. I'm like, holy crap, this is huge. This is, and I told you, I did not handle it well. I was a ball on the floor. And that makes sense because I'm afraid to get my blood pressure taken. I have white coat syndrome. So this is my scary. And I'm going to have you jump in and help me with, but I'm just going to tell you what I did. This is how I coped. And it wasn't very good coping, but it was all I could do. The one really good thing is I have a really strong faith. And I was reading my Bible and I felt like Jesus was right there with me. And I felt like stoic, but I felt like he was there. And so I didn't want to go through it. I didn't, all these tests, you have to wait, everything you have to wait for.
Oh.
So then you get your MRI and they go, well, you wait about a week for those results. Those results look good, but we won't really know until you get the pathology report. You know, then I just sat in fear with God. And I couldn't, you know, here's the funny thing, Penny. Before you, the first four segments of Saddle Up Live are about planning your life and the planner and how to get in the right mindset. I freaking threw that away. I didn't use my planner. Are you freaking kidding me? I sat there and I was like, moment by moment. And I did suffer. And Penny, I still suffer because I can spin out. It's better, like I said, I've heard better news. But what do people do? Like, how do you handle? And it doesn't always have to be a breast cancer diagnosis. It could be your spouse leaving you. It could be so many different things that whatever it is, that's your hard. I have a good friend who just lost her husband, you know, and that's hard. And how do I couldn't cope with that the way I coach people to cope. I couldn't go there. I couldn't, I was lost. I was in a sea of, I just am sitting here living moment by moment. So help me and let's help these listeners. So if anyone's going through this, they can do better than I did.
I'm curious because you, the first thing you said is I find it really hard to speak about this stuff. And so I'm going to start there because my studies with Gabor Maté, my trauma guru, who if you have not heard of Gabor, Dr. Gabor Maté from Canada, your listeners, it would serve them to look him up. He is phenomenal in terms of understanding trauma and what you're going through is a form of trauma, right? I think that's the first thing is to identify that. But one of the things he says, which I think has probably changed my life and how I work with my clients, is where there's tension, pay attention.
Okay.
And so I think what happens is so often in life, especially in the environment that we live in, we're so focused on just getting shit done and making progress that it actually means that for many of us, we suppress the tension. Anything that comes, that rises within us that is uncomfortable, or we feel might slow us down, we've become really good and really conditioned at pushing it down. So I'm a massive fan, I think, in terms of you, like everything that you've said and how do we deal with this. The biggest opportunity you have in anything that is making you feel uncomfortable, feel upset or tense is to actually create space for it. Okay, so I'm curious about you not wanting to speak about yourself because I think that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious about the fact that you said I didn't process, I didn't work this through well.
No,
because I'm like, where is the role model who is the role model? Like,
right.
What does doing this well look like? Because I don't believe doing this well exists. I think that we are all different and how we cope is different. Now, in terms of doing it well or right, I don't like that. For me, I don't like that terminology because it says that there is a way that you should be doing this. Mm-hmm. What I think is extremely powerful, like you said, you're just looking at it one day at a time, is how do you learn to create space for the feelings that are arising within you? Because, mm-hmm. like you said, these are not familiar feelings. This is not a familiar experience. This is, you know, this is an abnormality. This is a very mm-hmm. challenging time. There is obviously a process of grief associated mm-hmm. with what, and you know, grief of the healthy person you were mm-hmm. before you got the diagnosis, and then fear about the fact that this could potentially come back. So what if you just created space for these feelings to be present rather than try and fix them or, you know, squash them? Like you said, like maybe curled up on the floor in a ball was exactly what you needed.
Yeah.
As part of your processing. So one of right. the things that I do with the therapy that I've learned from Gabor is we actually just create space. So if you drop into your body, right, at the moment mm-hmm. and you ask yourself, when I think about what has happened, like what you've just shared, if you drop into your body, what are you feeling? What's the feeling?
I'm anxious right here in my gut.
Oh, right. Okay. So the body will tell you what's going on, right? So you just said you can specifically locate it. It's in your tummy and there's an anxiousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what I would be encouraging you to do as part of your process would be, okay, I'm going to every day, I think we spoke last time about journaling, like you journal yep. from memory.
Yeah. Yep. I've been journaling every day too.
Yeah. So here's the opportunity to process your feelings. You've got space with your journaling. So before you start writing, drop into your body and say, what am I feeling and where am I feeling it?
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And so label the feeling like you just have. I feel anxious in my tummy. Mm-hmm. So, and then I would say, okay, welcome, anxiety. You are welcome here.
See, I know all this, Penny. I know all this. You know what I mean? And it was like, it's like I can do it now, but back then I don't think I could.
And then, but then what is wrong with that?
Right. And I like that you said that because you're reminding me, my darling daughter is a medical doctor. Mm. And so you can imagine she wanted to get all kinds of information from me and I didn't have it. And I didn't want to know, like in a weird way. And she let it go. And she said, Mom, you just have to handle this how you have to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing matters but you. And that's what's so interesting. And Penny, it's so interesting because I am not like, I didn't want to jump on a Facebook group and get support. But I don't want people to feel bad that do. I didn't want to, I don't know. I didn't want it to define me. I want it to be something that I go through. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And so what I'm inviting you to do is to give yourself the permission to go through it without any judgment, without okay. any expectation, right? And actually, like I say, creating the space daily to connect in with, like you say, you know this stuff, but to remind yourself, and maybe your listeners don't know this, connect in with how you're feeling, welcome the feeling, ask the feeling, you know, why do I feel this way? Why are you here? What is it that you have to share with me? And write, like just write whatever comes up so that mm-hmm. you can allow space for the feeling to be processed. Because I know from doing this over and over again, when we create the space for all of the feelings we have, not just the good ones, but the bad ones as well, we allow ourselves to move through, yeah, in a way that makes sense for us, but it equally allows the feeling to dissolve. The weight of the feeling is never as great when you actually create the space for it to be allowed to be present. It is the suppression that creates the problem. And I know the last time we spoke, I said to you, I think, that the most happy people in the world are those who are emotionally diverse. They are the people that allow themselves to feel every feeling and process every feeling, because they know that in doing that, they come out the other side just a little better than what they were before, a little bit more resilient, a little bit more grounded, right? We can't be happy if we don't allow ourselves to process all of the feelings. And how can you be happy if you don't know sadness, if you can't sit
with sadness? I know that. And yet I think because it was so big to me, I know it's not true that it overcomes you. I know that when you feel a feeling, it doesn't overcome you. So, you know, it helps you. I know that seeing it and being aware of it, but for some reason, I think I was getting like, I gotta be positive, you know? Why? And
why? Like, I'm not telling you to, but so here's the other thing. So I was listening to a great pod. Mel Robbins had Dr. Tal Ben Shahar, who is an expert, Harvard expert in happiness, on her latest one. I was listening to it the other day, and I've heard this many times before, but the research shows that the more you try and be positive, the more you try and be happy, the further away you get from it. So you can't force happiness, right? But what you can do is you can indirectly allow happiness to be present through the way that you show up in the day before you. And you said you want to live moment to moment, which makes exact sense. And to be honest, whether you've got a cancer diagnosis or not, the day before you is all you freaking have. Let's be frank about it. He shared this beautiful model, which I loved, called SPIRE, S-P-I-R-E. And he said, rather than directly chasing happiness, which we know does not work, it actually has an inverse correlation with happiness. He said, what we do is we look to inject the SPIRE elements into each day. So you've already alluded to one. The first one is spirituality. So how do you bring spirituality into your day? For you, you said reading the Bible. If that's what works for you, knock yourself out. The second one is physical movement. Okay, you love riding your horses, right? You might not be able to do that, but maybe it's going for a walk with your horse when you're not so well during chemo. Like, that might be it, even if it's 5 minutes, right? So spirituality, physicality. The I was, let me just, oh my gosh. 1 second, I've written it down over here.
That's all right.
Yeah, so I love this model. Like I say, I've only heard it on the weekend. I'd never heard it before. The I is intellect. So this is about how do you, like, I know you're like me, you know, you're constantly learning. You're constantly, like, I love learning. I'm passionate about it. So what is it that stimulates your intellect that you can bring into each day? Some small, it might be listening to a podcast when you're having your chemo, right? Something like that. The R is relationships, right? We know the longest running Harvard study showed that the most flourishing and fulfilled people in the world throughout their lives, this was an 80-year study, had not 1,000, but a very few strong relationships throughout their life. And then the fifth one, E, is emotion. It's actually allowing yourself, as we've just spoken about, to feel the emotions, to process the emotions and hold the space for all of them.
Okay, so this is interesting that you're talking about. So I get all of that, and we get down to the E. I think I'm discovering something. I have felt out of control with my emotions, and I don't like it. I never like to be out of control. I have felt like extreme happiness, like when you get the results. Yeah. Holy crapola, this is great. Like, my surgeon was jumping for joy. We were hugging each other and dancing because it was such good news, right? And then lo and behold, time goes on, or you get triggered by something, you know, someone brings up something that triggers a bad thought about it. And then it's low, low, low. And so I think you really nailed something with me, that I judge myself on going low.
You judge yourself on going low, did you say?
Yeah, like, I don't think that I should go low. Don't go low.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, so here's what I'd be saying. Go low. Go low, right? And so, and when I say go low, I'm not trying to make you miserable. That's not the point. But in stopping yourself from going low, you're stopping yourself from feeling the feelings that are arising within you. And so that is an act of suppression. Okay.
And it was really uncomfortable.
Of course it was, because you're resisting the natural body. Your body is saying, I need to feel this. And you're resisting. So you're at war with yourself.
Right.
And how do you think that's going to impact your condition?
Right. That's so interesting because I was not liking the emotions. Like I am, like my husband will cry, you know, at a grandkid, or he will, and I don't do that. I think that I keep myself from going there, from really feeling those feelings, because it feels a little icky to me. I don't know why. Like it's just, I'm not used to feeling all those for some reason. Yeah.
Well, I'll guarantee you there'll be a very valid reason, and it will go back to your childhood.
Okay.
So you mentioned you were stoic. And everything you said in terms of how you handle things, I can relate to because it's the same. So I was raised on a farm, right? And so anyone who's ever been raised on a farm, you know, the way that nature interacts, you know, you are more stoic because you watch life and death on a farm. There is this kind of undertone of you just get on with things, you know, like, and I think that whilst that's brilliant in building independence and resilience, which are two strengths that I have in bucket loads, what I've learned as I've gotten older is that it's taught me to just keep getting on with things, just keep getting on with things. Mm-hmm. And that keep getting on, like you're talking about, has suppressed a lot of stuff. And then what happens is eventually the suppression of just keep pushing through means that stuff will come out, and it will come out in weird and wonderful ways that you don't want, which is why we need to create the space to actually, like you say, it feels icky, but that, like, where there's tension, pay attention, sit with it. Why does it feel uncomfortable? What is it about these feelings that makes you feel so uncomfortable? Ask yourself that, sit with it and explore it, because that's where the magic is. But don't not allow yourself to feel shit. Don't not allow yourself to, like, yes, it's great to be grateful, but equally you are entitled. You are just as entitled as anyone else to go, this is a shit thing that has happened to me, and I am going to allow myself to feel crap within it. Now, I have a little rule around this, and I'd say I'm going to give myself a period of wallowing, right? So you can wallow. You can feel sorry for yourself. There is nothing wrong with that. But I put a timestamp on how long I'm going to allow myself to feel like that. Okay, so it's like when you have a death in the family. You know, I've had some horrible things happen to people in our family, some really unexpected deaths. And I grieve and I wallow and I feel sad and I say, this is a horrible thing. But I say to myself, you know, for me, it's like, okay, I'm going to give myself 5 days. 5 days is the limit. And I'm going to allow myself to feel all the feelings. But after that, it's time to move on, because things don't stand still. And that's okay. And that's what works for me. But allow yourself to sit with the shitty feelings. You are very entitled to say, this is a bad thing that has happened to me. Yes, I've got a lot of good in my life, but it's okay to acknowledge the fact that this has not been a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think too, when you talk about independence, that kind of hit home with me, because I am so independent that it almost affects my relationships. Yep. I don't need anyone.
You don't ask for help?
I mean, it's like, ooh, that's kind of an icky place to be right now. You know what I mean? Because it's so odd when you're always the person that is bubbly and lifting people up, and then you don't feel, you know, it's just like, and I think that too is why I don't want to talk about it. Like, I don't want to talk about shit stuff. I want to talk about happy stuff. I want to make you feel better. That's my thing.
Yeah, but your listeners need you to speak about shit stuff. Because
no, and it's, why is that so hard, Penny? No, I think about it and I think, I don't want to talk about this.
But like I say, it makes you more real when you do. And it will connect deeper with the people who do follow you, and they follow you for a reason, but it makes you more human, because we're all the same, right? We all have good and bad stuff. And I love, you said earlier as well, which I was really curious about this, you know, you don't feel in control. Okay. And obviously you're someone who likes to be in control. Mm-hmm. You like to, and we do, we're wired for it as humans, right? To try and, we want certainty. We're constantly assessing every situation for risk and reward so that we can bring ourselves back to some degree of certainty, because certainty makes us feel safe. And uncertainty hyperstimulates the central nervous system. But life is uncertain. Like, everything is uncertain. That is, like, that is the certainty, the fact that everything's uncertain. And I read a beautiful book. I don't know whether you've read this. Have you heard of Jung Pablo?
No.
Oh, my gosh. This book will be beautiful for you at the moment. It's called Lighter. And so it says, let go of the past, connect with the present, and expand the future. So there is, he speaks a lot in this book about attachment. And there's this beautiful quote, and he says, so it sounds to me like you have an attachment to control, okay? And he says, every attachment is a rebellion against impermanence. And the reality is everything is impermanent. So actually giving yourself, again, some space to explore your attachment to control, which, again, is creating an inner resistance that is unnecessary because you can't control this. This is not something you're ever going to get to a point where you can control it, because it just is what it is. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is give yourself permission to experience it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I've even done that yet, Penny.
And experience whatever comes up. Like, you also have an attachment to this, you mentioned at the start, to this being done a certain way. How is there a way to do this? You know,
right.
There's not a way to do this. This is finding your way to do this without judgment. What is my way to do this? How do I want to experience this journey?
Right.
And love, I think the greatest opportunity that you have in what's going on is just, and I think we spoke about this last time, is asking yourself, what would self-compassion look like for me today?
Right.
Because I think that you need to give yourself a little bit of self-compassion. We're not great at it as women. And I think this is a beautiful opportunity to show yourself compassion and maybe start practicing asking for help, because it's not something you're good at. And now might be the time where you're actually going to need the support of others, and it might be a really good thing for you to experience, and it might give others the opportunity to do something for you that perhaps they've wanted to do for a long time because you've always been there to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, I'm guessing there's a lot of people that will want to support you in this process.
I have many beautiful, wonderful people, and they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's all something new. This is super helpful. And it's so funny, Penny, because, like, I know this, you know, mm-hmm. I know this. And yet, why do you lose sight of it in the middle of trauma?
Because of the way that your physiology responds. Okay. So what happens there? We have what we call an autonomic nervous system. And I always love the term, right? Because it speaks to what it is. It's automatic. So you don't have a choice. When your brain is triggered in a certain way, it will, your physiology will override the response that you want to have. Okay.
Okay.
And so what happens is you're being triggered when you have this experience. You're being triggered, your amygdala, the little part in your brain that protects you, is being triggered, and it will trigger you into fight, flight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some people have another response, which is fawning. So in a triggered state where their body feels unsafe, their sympathetic nervous system will go into fawning, and fawning is basically it's overcompensating through people-pleasing, constantly wanting to people-please others. Yeah, in order to reduce the propensity for conflict.
I mean, that is a big, I am a people pleaser.
And so this is your body. So what happens is and this is why I say there's no right way to do it, because depending on who you are will depend what you're triggered into, fight, flight, freeze, or fawning, right? So there's four different options already before you begin. And what will happen is the response that you have will generally, you will have a default that you'll go to more often than not. So for most people, you know, it might be fight, for example. I know for me, I'm a fighter because it's kind of my upbringing. And so that's your body's way of trying to keep you safe, even if that autonomic nervous system response is maladaptive and not in your service, your body believes that it's keeping you safe. And so what happens is when you go into this triggered state, yeah, it shuts down the prefrontal cortex of your brain, which means it shuts down the rational reasoning centers. and puts your body, as I say, into this autonomic state in order to protect you. And so in this state where we have these responses, it's impossible for us to think long term, to be innovative. You know, it's like wearing blinkers. You're just trying to get through what is immediately in front of you. Because your body
is. What you're talking about, right, in my words, is use your prodigy brain. That's what I call, like, your prodigy brain. And so, like, what I used to talk about before I've been trying to work through this is, like, do the deep breathing, or, like, just rub your fingertips together, do something. Yeah. What are your ways to get out of that, to get back into that brain that's actually, I don't know if you called it your
prefrontal cortex?
Yes.
So what we're trying to do, and this is the thing, right? So you've got the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. So parasympathetic is the rest and digest side, which is also got the branch, which is around returning to homeostasis, because that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to trigger another part of the system in order to get us back to that feeling grounded. Now, this looks different for everybody, but I think the most, like you said, the most powerful tool we all have available to us, easily accessible, is breath. And so there's this beautiful breath practice that I love called cosmic breath. And I just find it very grounding. And so it's, you know, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, and then in through your mouth and out through your nose. And so I repeat that 5 times, and it's unbelievable to me how that brings you back into your body. So anything that brings you back into your body and out of your head will help you return to homeostasis. So sometimes I will take my shoes off and just walk on the, you know, step outside and walk on the grass. That brings me back to that place. The breath is really powerful, but anything that gets you into your body, anything.
Okay. I cannot believe how fast this time has gone, Penny, but I'm just thinking to leave this conversation today. And I do want to have you back when I'm all done with this and we can talk about all the things I've learned, but this is my plan, and I will report back on this. So my plan is I'm going to sit with my feelings and I'm going to feel them and I'm going to journal them. And this is my job. This is going to be my job, is to do this and to take care of this. And then when I get triggered, where I go, like, I get terrified or scared, when I get that, I'm going to do the breath work in through my nose, out through my mouth, in through my mouth, out through my nose 5 times, or I'm going to go stand on the grass because it's nice here now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get back in my body. And then after I get back in my body, you're saying I'm going to be able to think clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another step after that? I know it's kind of going over our time, but is there anything else besides that that I need to do? The journaling, I know.
So I think that's enough. Okay. So, and this is the thing, you know, challenge yourself not to look at this like a job. It's like, how do I give myself permission to live this experience? Because this is my experience now. And so I think just sitting there and focusing on what's arising within you each day and learning how to, like, awareness is the first step to any change. So noticing when you're triggered and bringing that awareness to your breath. Okay. Like, if you just focus on that for now, I think you will find things will shift. I'm pretty certain things will shift. And just allow yourself to be with this. This is a moment. This is part of your story.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of your story. And so you get to choose how you experience this story. And I don't know about you, but my experience is that, funnily enough, the shittiest things that happen to us are where we grow the most.
I know.
And so imagine, like, who will you be on the other side of this?
I know. Well, and it's funny, Penny, because here, this will show you who I am a little. I'm like, I am not going to waste an opportunity of going through something awful like this to not learn something. This is what I'm telling myself.
And the learning will present itself. You don't have to force it. It will just arrive.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Penny, I thank you so much. I feel like I just got coached I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I hope Well, I know that it's going to help our listeners, so I appreciate you. And I will be back in touch. I'm going to let you know how this all goes. And I think it is going to be a beautiful story. So thank you for being a part of it and for coming back on.
Oh, I'm just absolutely humbled, and I can't wait to reconnect, and always happy to support people on a journey like this, because like you're experiencing, you know, like we don't know what to do in these situations. There's no rule book. Yeah. So finding the path that makes sense for you is the most important thing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And listeners, if you want coaching from Penny, we'll have a way to connect in our show notes. It's just so they go to your website, Penny.
Yeah, just hackinghappy.co, or you can find me on Instagram, hackinghappyco. I love that we can be on completely different sides of the world and still have such a connection, you know. That's one brilliance of technology.
It is amazing. It's a gift.
It is.
It is. All right, Penny, thank you so much. Take good care.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you for tuning in to another empowering episode of Saddle Up Live. As we conclude this exhilarating journey together, don't forget to subscribe, share your thoughts, and become a valued member of our vibrant community. Because, as always, every woman deserves to thrive, flourish, and live her best life. Until the next time, saddle up and keep conquering those trails.